Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine, and I am excited to tell you that I have just released my memoir titled Cliff Edge Road. That's all one word, Cliff Edge. It is a brutally honest, gripping, autobiographical account of my bizarre life growing up with a narcissistic mother and the pattern of adult trauma that followed. Cliff Edge is CLIFFEDGE. Check it out. It's available now on Amazon and soon to be available on Barnes & Noble. Joy Elaine, one of the foremost experts on the Ashtar Command, explains, the Ashtar Command is a consortium of elevated non-dual masters that are committed to supporting the graceful evolution of Earth from the 10th dimension. Yes, that you heard me right, the 10th dimension. Their fleet of more than 80 million ships non-manipulatively assist all sentient beings to achieve heightened states of conscious awareness. Commander Ashtar said, "Our hearts are pure, and our focus is always to honor the timing of all beings." Joy's six-book series, The Adventures of Joy Chronicles, are your means to connect with the Ashtar Command and other multidimensional beings that many believe are mythical creatures. Joy Elaine is an author, speaker, and one of the foremost experts in the world on the Ashtar Command, as well as mythical creatures that are real. And Joy is going to tell us a lot more about herself and what she does, and I'm excited to bring her on. So let's get started. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Randy, and it's a thrill for me to be able to speak with you. Great introduction, by the way. Thank you for that. Sharing that information.
You are very, very welcome. We're very excited to have you here. So I am not, other than having looked through your book, the Path of Sweetness, I am not familiar with the Ashtar Command. So please tell us who they are and what your relationship is to them.
Well, you know, that glossary, definition that you read, you find that in the back of the first book. And some of the terms might be unfamiliar with people. I really didn't know about the Ashtar Command either when I stepped aboard an Ashtar Command ship. And when I say that I stepped aboard, I tell you that with my energy body, I did that. So imagine that a part of me, my physical body, was sitting on the sofa in my front room, and this was in February of 2014. And the energy part of me, some people might be familiar with that through astral traveling. You know, they're part of us. We are much more than our physical body. So a part of me moved to this astral command ship with the intention of handing over to the commander some energy work that I had put together to assist the command. I'd read about them from another healer that I knew a few days previously, and I thought, I think I can put together some work that will be of assistance to them. So I stepped aboard at this ship, and, you know, I was just doing my work. I wasn't expecting to meet 6 foot tall, handsome, long black hair commander. I was like, oh. So, but I managed to collect myself and moved across the room. And the fascinating thing was that my body was also different. I'm 73. Look good for my age, people tell me. But when I felt my body, this energy body of me that was on that ship, on the higher dimension of Earth, I was young, and I was wearing a gown, which is something I never wear here. So it's like, it's just like another part of me. Although the command, you know, they keep assuring me that we are one and the same person, but she, you know, looks 23. So that's me in the future. So Astral Commander Tonas, his name was, and I was very shy that first time, so I didn't stay too long. But then, of course, I had to go back because I just sensed that he knew a lot about Earth that I didn't know. And the conversations that we began were so fascinating to me that along about June or July of that year, I thought, oh, my gosh, I have to write about these, what he's telling me, because if you pick up one of the books or any of the books, it's like having a crystal ball to look into the future, especially this first book. You're seeing what Earth is going to be like because Commander Tonas himself came from a world, the type of world that we are evolving to. And non-dual, that was one of the words that was in the definition you read. And I'm sure the people maybe were kind of scratching their head, or maybe they didn't even hear those words because it's not something that, you know, we talk about in our everyday conversation. But non-dual, what is non-dual? Well, we know what duality is because Earth has always been a dual world, right? We know that we've got the opposites. We've got dark and light. We've got good and bad. We've got peace and war. We've got love and hate. That's a dual nature world. So imagine that a non-dual world has none of those opposites. It's all good. Let me say that again. No opposites. It's all good. So one of the most confounding things that Tonas told me, he looks like he's about 30, but he can look any age that he wants. That's the capability of a non-dual individual. And they don't die. Let me say that again. They don't die. He's over 25 million years old, and he's one of the youngest of the Ashar commanders. So I was pretty much astounded at that thought. It was like turned over my worldview completely. Can you imagine? You know, can you imagine that experience of hearing that information?
No, I can't. And my question is, how did you find a way to energetically get aboard this Ashtar Command ship that you've never been on and never contacted? How did you do that?
I've been studying different healing modalities for about three decades. And the one that I've practiced since 2003 is called Serenity Vibration Healing. And also I'm a member of another group of initiates that are studying with some of the Ascended and Galactic Masters. It's a private group. But I learned the techniques and the tools to be able to do that consciously. This is channeled information. So when I transmit my energy body to that other dimension, I'm I'm hearing and speaking with Tonos like you and I are speaking. It's not like I'm sitting there trying to guess what he's saying. It's a direct, like a direct conversations. So it's taken quite a bit of it's taken a lot of study. I use the SVH, the Serenity Vibration Healing Work. I use it every day. I work on myself. Sometimes I'm spending, at this point in my development, I'm spending 3 to 4 hours doing different exercises and practices to, because I want to be one of the first to move into non-duality. Now, Earth herself, let me kind of describe where we are now with being on the scale of becoming non-dual. Third dimension is no longer, it's no longer part of Earth. It hasn't been since 2009. How did that happen? Enough people on the planet are making higher choices in their lives. They're being more loving towards themselves and their neighbors. they're not gossiping. Maybe they've stopped watching the news. Maybe they are more in tune with their purpose. And people will say to me, "What? Really? With all the stuff that's going on now?" Well, you see all that stuff. It's coming up to be healed and cleared and released. There's enough of us that are holding the energy of this new reality that we want to that we are bringing about. That actually fourth dimension left a couple of years ago. So where are we now? Physically, all of Earth and everything on Earth exists in a blend of fifth and sixth dimensions. When does Earth herself become non-dual? In the eighth dimension. Now, it's possible for people to become non-dual before we reach the eighth dimension. And that is for those people who are very focused on doing their work, whatever that work may be. And one of my main goals is to bring forth the information in these books, to be a way sure for people, to give them hope, excitement, encouragement about the magical future that awaits us. And when I say magical, I mean things like teleporting, telepathy, clairvoyance. Those are all master abilities that we think maybe Buddha had those, and maybe Jesus had those, but that's not for everybody. Well, that will be for everybody in the future.
That is so exciting, at least
isn't
to
it?
Me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so exciting. What is the difference between the fifth dimension and the third dimension? Because I actually a while back had on someone who was a specialist an expert in the fifth dimension and all everything that went on, and she was saying, you know, sometimes when you misplace something, and then all of a sudden it shows up in that exact spot where you thought it was. She's like, that's because when you misplaced it, you were in the fifth dimension or you were in the third dimension or whatever it is, you're going back and forth. But you're saying that the third dimension does not exist anymore. So what is the fifth dimension? What are we experiencing, all of us, in the fifth dimension?
Well, let me tell you what. Let me remind you about the third dimension. That was more of the struggle for survival, fight for survival, you know, fear, every man for himself, just all those, paradigms. You knew you were going to be born, you were going to maybe have a little bit of fun, you were going to get old, and you were going to die. Okay, that was third dimension. And there are people still holding on to that mentality of, it's going to be hard, it's just going to be hard, and I've just got to work so hard. And that's really not where we're going. You know, if you think about non-duality, where manifestation is instant. Let me say that again. Manifestation is instant. So you think about, I want a diamond, and you have a diamond on your hand. You think about, I want to be 2 inches taller, and you're 2 inches taller. Or you're, we've got blonde hair. You can change your appearance just like you change your clothes. So with instant manifestation, what you might have noticed in the dimensions where we are now is that you might be thinking about something and then you just kind of drop it. You don't ponder it for a long time. You don't get all knotted up about it. And then all of a sudden it's there. Things are going to be happening quicker.
Now, do some of us, so you were talking about those who are still, you know, kind of hung up in
the mindset
of the past, right? So are they
right.
in a different dimension than we are, or are they with us, just not fully there yet?
They're with us. They just haven't embraced the new possibilities, the new energies. You know, they might be people that, you know, they're pretty much in a rut, and this is just describing, not judging or anything. They haven't woken up yet.
Right.
But there are so many people that are doing it. They're looking around and they're saying, hey, you know, I don't like this job. It doesn't fulfill me. I'm going to find something that does.
Right.
You know, I'm going to stop gossiping about something. I'm going to think the best of the people that are around me, and I'm going to just start sending love. You know, one of the energy beings that I work with in the first book, they're called the Council for Earth Vigilance, and they actually manifest in one of the later books. But when I first met them, they were just energy. only one of them, would speak to me with all the voices coming through, and he said, Earth is moving from a sexual-oriented planet to a heart consciousness planet where we will be speaking from our hearts. And that's when we start doing that, we're sending out a vibration of love and we're speaking the truth. The heart, you know, we've been very much an intellectual, at least I have, very much, you know, inner brain, figuring out things, focused on the answers. And the brain is a wonderful computer, but the heart has the answers. So we're needing to connect brain and heart consciousness to really become the more the masters that we are, that we're remembering that we are. Everybody here is here because this is the happening place. All eyes are on Earth.
Mm. Amazing.
Isn't that astounding?
It is astounding. We have a caller that wants to ask you a question, so let me bring her on. Okay.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and glad you had this wonderful experience, and so happy you're sharing it with humanity. I'd like to know how did he approach you? Was it any visions, or how did he approach you for this marvelous gift you have? Thank you.
Did you say your name was Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay. Lisa, thank you for calling. You're asking me how Commander Ashtar Commander Tonas approached me? Is that what your question was about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he didn't really approach me. That wouldn't have been allowed. So I stepped aboard his ship, and in one of the later books, I asked one of the masters I work with, I said, his name was Sananda, by the way, and he's been assisting Earth for millions of years. I said, why, out of 86 million ships above Earth at that time, why did I step aboard that ship? And he said, well, you've had over 700 incarnations with this man. And some of them are still happening because, you know, if it's on a non-dual world, remember I said nobody dies. So with that many connections between us, it was inevitable that I would eventually hook up with him in this lifetime. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Oh, thanks. How do they choose their vision, their messengers from humanity when there's a billion people in the earth?
So you're asking me, how does the Ashtar Command view the earth, or is that?
So planet Earth has a billion people, and there's a million ships. Then that cannot be seen. How, like, do they choose random who they for the ship? Do they choose random, or they just know who to connect with?
Well, see, they're the one of the prime rules, and it sounds like Star Trek, but I think Mr. Roddenberry, you know, was really channeling information about the future. One of the prime rules that the Ashtar Command follows very carefully is that you cannot advance a species beyond their readiness. So unless people, you know, have the intention of working with and connecting with them, they do not approach us. You know, they are non-dual. Now, this is not to say that there are not other individuals who are dual in nature who are connecting with humans. And I always advise people, be very careful about, be discerning about who you're channeling or who you're connecting with. Because non-dual individuals have no agenda. They have no intent of coercing, or there's no sneaky messages that they're trying to do or take control of humanity or anything like that. If you want to connect with an Ashtar Command ship, there are several ways you can do that, and they are on my website. There's a under World Missions, there's one that you actually interact with an Ashtar Command. You help them. You help them facilitate a world mission, and it's explained on implement world mission with the Ashtar Command. And the best way is if you just get quiet in your meditation, you say, you know, I'd like to connect with an Ashtar Commander that is, you know, in alignment with, you know, working with me. And just be open to listening to, you know, what they have to say. I think one of the coolest things about my books is that in the back of each book, there is a paragraph or two that explains how you can take part in the work that we are doing. So in the first book, our first transmission that Tonas and I put together, it was on April 4th, 2014. And you can intend to, just with your energy body like I did, step aboard the ship on that day and send your love and your hopes and your wishes for the earth through the golden orb. We have holding a golden orb in our hands between us, and I describe that in the book. So you just put your wishes in the orb for Earth, and you get to send it to the Earth in the past. So you can send gifts to yourself from the past.
Thank you for calling. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can continue to listen, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the Ashtar Command, they're overseeing Earth, and if they're not really imposing on us,
right?
Then how are they making changes? Are they? That's a little difficult to understand.
It's more that they are guarding us.
Guarding,
yes. Okay. Like in the past, they've been around for 2,000 or 3,000 years. Well, like for example, meteors, ships that are not allowed to come to Earth that have no. this is going to get a little bit complicated to explain, but
okay.
It has to go back to when humans were created. We've got a lot of us think that we are from other worlds, and the truth of the matter is that we have genetics from dual beings and non-dual beings that are from other worlds. So humans are kind of a Heinz 57 variety of genetics. And so if we have genetics from...
Oh, gosh, my phone is starting up.
Uh-oh. Are you okay?
Okay. No, we're having problems with our line. Sorry. Let me call right back in, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm calling back. I'm calling in from my cell phone now because we're having trouble on our other line. Okay. I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
It's all right. Well, it's easier just to explain that. They can prevent races of beings who do not have any privilege to be here. They can prevent them from coming to Earth. They would have an agenda that would not be necessarily good for humanity. So that's one of the guardianship rules that they maintain, and they have done that for several thousand years. See, the galactic councils, there are at least 8 galactic councils overseeing Earth, and they are very, very particular about what people, the non-dual beings, can do or not do. And they really are very, very limited in what they can do unless, here's the loophole that they have, unless we ask for help. See, when I stepped aboard that ship, and then like the second or third time, I said, well, can we work together? He said, okay. You know, he wasn't able to suggest that, but when I suggested it, it gave them the opportunity to work through me to assist the Earth. So it's an incredible position that I have, and I'm so grateful to have it, to be able to interact not just with the Ashtar Command, but with just galactic masters like Osiris, Isis, Taught, and beings of that caliber, Jesus, Sananda. In the book, in the end of the first book, we did a lot of work in the first book, Tornis and I did together, to send transmissions to Earth to help balance masculine and feminine energies. And we had so much fun, I guess you could say, it was fun for me, and it was very impactful for Earth, I felt, that at the end of the book that there was a huge party with like 50,000 people from other worlds came to Tornos' spaceship. And we celebrated Earth. You know, there were rooms with all different foods of Earth and explanations about different cultures of Earth. It was really quite a wonderful party. And I didn't want the work to end. I thought, you know, we've done such wonderful things. I've met such marvelous people. And so we formed a council that starts in book 2, and I met a genie in the first book, and a good one. Really, there really weren't any bad genies, but they were created to be slaves, basically. Anyway, book 2, we've got a joy council that was developed. He created a crystalline building on the 10th dimension of the moon and one of the center of the earth. And I got to meet and I got to ask people like John Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, Hiawatha, Osiris, and the others that I mentioned were already part of the council, Mark Antony, Cleopatra, Julius Caesar, King Arthur and his knights, and Guinevere. I mean, those people are form a joy council, and there are millions, I say millions, of non-dual worlds and individuals in our universe who are supporting the transmissions we send out. So it's pretty incredible. So it's not just little joy here, you know, the doing good person that I am, but I'm backed by all these wonderful people. And as long as I bring ideas to the table, they can make them so that it has to be passed by approval to the Galactic Council. But see, people are invited in that book to just energetically step aboard the council and sit down at the table that's modeled after the round table, although we had to make it oval because there's over 100 people sitting around it. Sit there and add your thoughts and dreams to the transmissions we send out. There's only 2 or 3 in the first book, but there's more in each book that follows. So the key element is that you can be part of bringing about this greater vision for our evolving Earth than anyone has ever dreamed of. Way beyond what I could have dreamed of would be possible.
Now, the things that you suggested and that you talked about in this group, have you seen any of these things materialize or not yet?
Well, that's one of the reasons I think that the fourth dimension left. That was really our focus in I think it's the fourth book. And there was a lot of resistance to that. There is a species here on Earth that's inimical to humanity. don't talk about them too much in the first two or three books, but we discovered things as things went along, what started hitting the fan. So, there was quite a bit of resistance, but there's a new strategy for 5 and 6. So what I see happening is that, as I said, the drama and trauma, sometimes those are strategies by the, quote, the other side to take people's focus off of, what they can do to bring about our evolution. You get involved in the things that are shown on the news, and hopefully you're able to just be neutral and or send blessings or love to the events that are shown, because they're mostly all dramatic and tragic. I don't watch the news. I got criticized by another interviewer for not keeping abreast of what's happening and supporting humanity. And I figured, well, the better way that I can do that is be neutral myself and focus on, being at peace and sending out love to everyone and everything I meet. So, yes, you will notice as time moves on that things will be easier. It just is just the way it's going to happen, because the higher dimensions don't support the drama and the tragedies that were typical of the third dimension, for example. The good news is that Gia, she's also on our council, an embodiment of the energy of Earth, the essence of Earth. She believes that by the middle of January next year, that sixth dimension will be completely immersed into fifth dimension to uplift that dimension. And after a period of time, fifth dimension will float away like 3 and 4 have. So we're moving that way progressively into the higher dimensions, which are characterized by more grace, more love, more truth, more speaking from your heart. So if you get discouraged by watching the TV, realize that's an outer show of not necessarily the truth of what's happening. Tune into your inner guidance and follow your heart, and then be the best person you can be. That's really my advice, because we are, as in Osiris points this out in, I think, in the very first book, maybe in the second book, we are all one. The energy that comprises the Ashtar command ship, that comprises the trees on Earth, is all one energy of light, particles of light. And we're moving to remember that. We're moving to remember our mastery. There are more and more people that are waking up.
Yes, I am noticing that. As I do this show, I've been doing this show for 9 years, and it really was amazing to me how many people have woken up, because years ago when I was, thinking these ways, just differently, spiritually or whatever, people looked at me like I was strange. And now I found a huge community, a huge community of people who are just in me, multiplied exponentially. So
isn't
it's very,
that wonderful?
Very cool. Yeah, very, very cool.
Imagine, fifty or 60 years ago, if I started talking about that I was speaking with dragons and fairies and Ashtar commanders, I think it might have been not such a good experience.
No, and I'm sure that there are people that, are probably thinking the same thing. But let's talk about those mythical creatures, because we really haven't. So they actually existed or exist.
Yes.
Currently?
Right. Yes. So in the first book is mostly me speaking with Tonos to find out as much as I just, just really grilling him with questions about, what? Really? That's possible? But I do meet a genie. He was one of my spirit guides, my angel guides, suggested that I meet him. And so his name is Laponi. He's blue. Curly hair, yes, and it is true that, you're just, before you're even thinking what you want, he can manifest it. It's really incredible. And he was, Osiris told me that he was the first genie ever created. So imagine the number 94 with 45 zeros after it. That would be Laponi's age. That's Laponi's age. Quattro decillion. 94 quattro decillion years. Anyway, in the first book, I meet a fairy. And so there's not a lot of fairy interaction in the first book. But in the second book, wow, dragons and fairies in all the books thereafter.
Are dragons evil? Are dragons dangerous as they've been portrayed?
Well, there are reptilians, okay? Dragons are a reptilian, but they are not, quote, the bad guys. Wundfrid is a dragon king. I met him in book two at Gia's suggestion. And they had actually been killed off twice in Earth's history. There's a history of dragons in the second book. So how did they come back? Well, I was talking with Gia, and I found out that they had been killed, and I thought, gosh, you know. And I found out that a lot of things that belonged to Earth had been stolen over the millennia. You know, some of those mythical creatures that we think are not real, you know, like flying horses and unicorns and those kind of things, and been stolen or had become extinct. And I thought, well, you know, I'd like to have back the things that belong to Earth. And the cool thing is that the fairies have a template that they use. I don't know how it works, but they use it, and here's what they do with it. All the things that we kill, you know, like not humans, but trees that we cut down, the animals, and like the cows and the chickens and the pigs that we kill, the fairies take them into their gardens, okay? Well, what do they do with them there? The cows have a special garden. The cows and pigs and chickens have a special garden because we kill so many of them that they would, you know, really overrun any single fairy garden. And Shelia is the name of the little fairy that I knew when I was a little girl that I reunite in the first book. She's about 2 inches tall, likes to have pink hair. She said, well, when they get here, there's meadows for the cows to, you know, to eat grass and she said they don't have to do it, but they like to do it, so we let them. And when it's time for them to, when they would have died at quote a natural death, they just lay down and turn into sparkles. Can you imagine? I mean, my heart opened so wide when I heard that, you know, because I love trees, you know, and so many of the ones I love have been cut down. So the trees that I love, you know, like they're still in the fairy gardens. They haven't died yet. And something that is created in the fairy gardens never dies. The fairies never die.
Okay.
And so everywhere there's green.
Question.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So my question is, are we talking about where we go when we die? Are we talking about this, you know, this other dimension that we go to? is this the answer to death, to what happens?
Okay, so what's going to, there's lots of options, okay? And this is what the masters have told me. A lot of people are going to die. That's just, I mean, humans have been dying for hundreds of thousands of years, okay? A lot of people will not be able to believe or embrace or raise their vibration to make it into these higher dimensions. That's perfectly fine because they're still going to go to a wonderful place that's I've talked about in the books called the fifth realm. Not the fifth dimension, but the fifth realm. But, for example, my parents, my dad died, they died 4 years ago, 11 days apart, and dad was 97, mom was 89. I could never really talk to them about what I was doing because they just didn't have they just couldn't understand it. All right. People that are awake, that have awakened, that are doing their purpose, that are you know, realizing that they can reverse their aging, that they can move into their master abilities, have the option of moving with their physical bodies into those higher dimensions and not dying.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's my intention to do that.
Okay. Wow. And that is something that we consciously do as physical beings?
Yes. So okay. How do you do that? Well, you you know, there's lots of different energy modalities that are very powerful. I think SVH is one of the most powerful ones on the planet. It's helped me to get, you know, do things like clear my karma and release old contracts and clear harm cords and all kinds of cool things.
What is that?
But serenity vibration healing, that's the modality that I've practiced since 2003. That's one of the. That's where I've gotten the tools to be able to do the work that I'm doing.
Okay.
That and some other the studies that I've done with Ascended and Galactic Masters. So, you know, I can't. My goal is to show people that it's possible to do what I've just been talking about.
Okay.
And but I do have to be a little bit careful because I realized if I start looking like 23 all of a sudden, I'm going to have. I'm going to be besieged with people, and I don't want that. You know, I'm a private person, so I want to be able to lift up those I encounter with just my vibration, with the healing that I can offer. That's not intrusive, not trying to fix other people. You know, just speaking to them from my heart to uplift them, because I want
what we're talking about. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, so is this what we call, is what's called ascension? When
yes,
we
we're all
ascend.
Ascending.
Okay.
Right.
We're ascending. Okay.
But I haven't used that word because I don't want people to see Jesus floating off into the sky, you know.
Right.
That's not
exactly
the kind of ascension I'm talking about. I'm just talking about we're all just because of what Earth herself is doing, we're all, our vibrations are rising. Even, quote, all that stuff, all the bad guys, quote, you know, it just come a point where they wake up and realize, hey, you know, because there is, like I said, in the eighth dimension, when Earth is non-dual, there's no death. There's no killing. Earth is restored to her pristine nature. There's no pollution. I mean, if you can manifest instantly, think what you won't need. Just think what you won't need when you can have anything you desire it with just a thought. And, of course, we'll have evolved enough so that we're only going to be manifesting good things. We're not going to be, you know, doing the kind of things that we do now. It just can't happen in the eighth dimension.
Well, I'm excited about this.
I am too.
I think
you see
this
why
is
I had to write.
Yeah,
I just had to write
about
this.
I'm going to look into serenity vibration healing. I'm really interested in that. Okay, we're going to run out of time, and we're going to get cut off. So what is your website?
www.joyelaine.com. My SPH website is thejoyoflife.info.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And the book, the first book in the series is The Path of Sweetness, Journal of
Path
Galactic...
of
Yes,
romance,
Path of Sweetness, so,
and global evolution.
Yes, perfectly.
Yes.
Yes, so that's a good place
they
for
are,
everyone to start.
They are available on Kindle. I do have some books at my home that I'm offering at a special price. You can't order them through Amazon because I've got them here, so you can contact me from my website. It's going to be a Black Friday special. If you want to get on my newsletter, I'll send out that information to you. You just sign up from my website. I don't pester you with stuff. You know, I'm just about once a month I send out some good stuff, so... JoyElaine.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joy. I so appreciate you being my guest today and enlightening us in such a beautifully amazing way. So,
my pleasure.
Yes. I look forward to reading all your books.
And
thank you. Be well. Say hello to Tonas for us. And
I will.
Yes,
I'm going to talk to him a little
him
bit.
Absolutely. Tell him we are excited to know of his, the way that he is actually helping us. So
thanks
again. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Randy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We are out of time, but if you have any comments or questions, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.